It's draft day. We'll look at the Utah Jazz version of Ocean's 11. 11 players they'll consider. Why to take them? Why to be concerned? Then we'll walk down the mock draft, how we think it's going to all play out, all the rumors and news around the league, and how to watch it as a Jazz fan. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? Welcome to the 2018 NBA Draft Day. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA Insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers, and a look behind the curtains. We have finally gotten here. There's a lot of shakeup. Things have considerably changed in the middle of the draft in the last 48 hours. One of the points I've been trying to make a lot recently is that I saw the draft as having everybody, I think most people talked about three or four tiers. So you had whoever you thought was one or two. Then they kind of went to nine. And from nine, it went to kind of 15. And then 15, it went to 34. What became more and more clear as I looked at it, said this last night with Dave Fox, said this yesterday on The Zone, is I'm not sure I didn't like guys. Well, I'm pretty certain I like guys that were 19 to 25 to 30 more than I liked a lot of guys that are 11 to 17. That is now coming to fruition. That group of players has now moved up into 14 down. And now this draft really is a 1 through 9, a 9 through 14, and then 14 through 35. And I'll walk you through that coming up here, where the Jazz draft really starts, how to watch the draft tonight from a Jazz point of view. But the first thing I want to do today is I want to look at the 11 players that I think legitimately the Jazz are going to be looking at, depending on how the draft plays out. That's insanely high number. But when we go through the backside, you'll see why this is. All right, so today's show is brought to you by The Advocates, as well as Murdoch Chevy. I'm driving the Chevy Colorado right now. It is the perfect size truck. I am loving having a truck this summer. It has been just great. All right, so let's get to it. I'm going to drop two guys that I like from the Jazz 11. I'm dropping Melvin Frazier, and I'm dropping Zana Moussa. I don't know. The Jazz might draft Moussa. Frazier, as much as I like him, the more I hear, doesn't actually fit Utah. Doesn't kind of fit the way we want to play, what we do. I do like him. I think he's got great second action defensive stuff. I think he'll be able to fit in defensively. If he ever makes corners threes, he's Trevor Ariza. Moussa, I like too. Kind of the aggressiveness, the youth. When I took him in the Lockdown Podcast Network mock draft, I really did it because I was shooting the moon. The more feeling I get as we get closer to the draft, I don't think the Jazz are shooting the moon. So I could be wrong on that, but I'm taking him off the list. So let's walk through 11 players that the Jazz will consider. And most of these guys have breakdowns up at lockdownjazz.net if you want to read more about them. Garrett and Life did incredible work getting those up for everybody. So Kevin Huerter, Maryland, 6'7", bona fide shooter, decent handle, crafty footwork to get shots. The reason I would draft him, great release, great depth on his shot, NBA shooter, NBA size. The concern I have on him is pretty little, but it would just be a question of athleticism, defensively how he handles, and then he doesn't go to the line, he doesn't rebound a lot, he doesn't have a lot of variations to his game. So that's Kevin Huerter out of Maryland. Great catch-and-shoot guy, averaged 1.16 points per catch-and-shoot. Open threes was 1.4. Decent off-the-bounce game. Really pretty creative, crafty, getting in the lane, getting shots off around the basket. So that's Kevin Huerter, Maryland. Grayson Allen, Duke. 6'5", plays both the one and the two very comfortably. Four-year college player, has been in the midst of a lot of... Oh, and actually, I was going to give you where each of these guys fit on the Pelton numbers. Kevin Huerter for Pelton's numbers came out as eighth best prospect. Grayson Allen, as I said, 6'4", combo guard, probably going to be better on the weak side. Never got to play weak side action in college. Probably going to be better doing that. Elite level athlete. Experienced 4-year college player. Reason I would draft him: versatility of position, explosiveness, better NBA player than college player when he doesn't have to be the man and has some space on the floor that he has never had before. Concerns, the weird tripping incidences that everyone doesn't seem to be. Age, he's 22 and a half. And frankly, last year, his shot didn't go in. So, you know, really deep analysis on his shot needs to be done. Kevin Pelton's numbers have Grayson Allen as the 23rd prospect in this draft. Aaron Holiday, point guard only out of UCLA, 6 foot, good long reach. Reason you draft him, pretty darn good catch and shoot guy, good with his teammates, had an outstanding junior year after Lonzo Ball left, bona fide scorer. Reasons of concern, he is really small. He was not a good off-the-bounce player, which might be a size of height, and he was not great on the pick-and-roll as well. Toughness, awareness of the league, you know, with his brothers being in the league, I think are why you feel comfortable with him. According to Kevin Pelton's numbers, Aaron Holiday is just 72nd on the draft board. Stunning number there on Holiday. It's because of his age. Lack of productivity until that age. Dante DiVincenzo, another combo guard. He and Allen are somewhat of a kind of similar type players, both elite level athletes. The reason you draft him is because great pull up game, super athlete, bona fide scorer. Defensively, you hope he can hang. Reason of concern, does he really translate to the NBA? His game in Villanova was just to come off the bench and go to work. Is that a realistic thing for him to do in the NBA game? How does he adjust in that regard? He's less of a point guard than a two, and he's not particularly big. He did not do great on open catch and shoots last year. He had a great pick-and-roll game, one of the best pick-and-roll, the best pick-and-roll production, along with Jalen Brunson. And as well, he... was very, very good off the bounce. According to Kevin Pelton's numbers, he's 26th on the boards. Jerome Robinson, Boston College third-year scorer. That's what he's smooth. He's 20-plus points a game at BC. Wasn't a highly recruited guy. Came on the scene late. Has been moving on draft boards all over the place. 6'5", really a two, not a one. Had a point guard at Boston College he played with. Not a great body. So you like him because of his scoring, his ability to get shots off and make shots. His concern, not a great body, not a great athlete, not particularly defensively minded in what he's doing would be the concerns. And if the game speeds up on him, whether or not he can actually get those same shots off. But he was one of the best catch-and-shoot guys and the best player off the bounce of players we're talking about in this draft. According to Kevin Pelton's numbers, he's 75th. 75th on the charts. All right, so that's the first five. Huerter, Allen, Holiday, DiVincenzo, Robinson. I'll give you the next six coming up, and then we'll walk through the draft, both the SI and the ESPN mock drafts, and where things are heading. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Chevy. Chevy's got the best line of trucks out there, wide-ranging. And then I'm in the Colorado right now, and so I went and kind of asked some people about it, and Talked to one of the guys down at Murdoch Chevy. Such good people. Tyson has hired a great crew there. About, you know, so what is it about the Chevy that is, you know, that is so special? And the answer that I was given is the new technology of the Colorado. Gas mileage of the Colorado is better. The diesel gets up to 28 miles a gallon compared to the Tacoma that's at 16. You have Apple CarPlay, Android CarPlay in the Colorado. Motor Trend Truck of the Year 2 years in a row. J.D. Power's initial quality top five. And increasing its market share because of all these things pretty dramatically right now. So, and if you want horsepower, the V6 in the Colorado is 308 horsepower compared to the Tacoma V6 is 278. And the price difference is considerable. So if you're looking for a truck, I drove the Silverado. It's beautiful. It's the luxury truck of all trucks. Now I'm driving the midsize Colorado. I find the Colorado, for me, is much more manageable. Maybe that's because I, you know, hit the side of the Silverado on some. Don't tell him about that. Oh, well, he knows. But anyway, absolutely. That's just because I'm an idiot. Fabulous, fabulous truck. Check it out. And if you go to Murdoch Chevy, you get the Murdoch guarantee of no regrets. Car washes, safety inspections for life, 5-day price match guarantee. Go check it out. Murdoch Chevy. Find new roads at Murdoch Chevy in Woods Cross, also in Linden. Make sure you tell Tyson that Locked On Jazz sent you, and they'll snicker at you because of me, and then they'll treat you good stuff. All right, let's do the next six. I think the next is the French point guard, 6'3", Elie Okobo. Backstory on him is he has kind of risen up the boards recently with this fabulous performance in the French league. He torched Aaron Kraft, who everyone has a lot of respect for, with, I think, 44. He's a bona fide scorer. You like him because he can score. He's got wiggle. He's probably got the most upside of anyone we're talking about here. He's 6'3". He is smooth. I didn't see a lot of passing at him in the U2 game I watched out of him the other day. He's got good length, good size. He's probably more of a two than a one. Your concern, he's young, so he has some upside. Your concern on him, that's why you'd take him. The concern would be, you know, not truly a point guard, not a great passer, throws it all over the gym at times, and the translation from the French league to the U.S. game could be a little bit more difficult than you might anticipate. He is 19th on Kevin Pelton's numbers, so that's the second best numbers guy we've had yet behind Herter's 8. De'Anthony Melton. De'Anthony Melton played at USC for 1 year, and then the NCAA, he got caught in the NCAA probe. USC sat him out for the year, and he didn't play. 6'3", 195, elite-level athlete, absolutely tough defensively, gets into you, has all those intangibles, would be a defensive force. He's pretty long. Offensively, looks to have improved from what was a really rough rookie year or freshman year at USC. And we'll be able to tell, you know, over time, the concern on him is exactly that. He just was an awful shooter his freshman year, was offensively limited. You love all the athleticisms, the approach, supposedly a super kid, a great leader. But the concern would be whether or not he ever can kind of make that shot. On Kevin Pelton's numbers, I believe he came out as 10th. So pretty interesting. 10th best guy in Kevin Pelton's numbers. Next one to look at would be Josh Okoji, who is out of Georgia Tech. He's 6'4 with a 7-foot wingspan. The reason you like him, 7-foot wingspan, elite level athleticism. He had a good combine. Georgia Tech wasn't very good. He makes, when you watch him, he makes plays that make you go, wow, like, oh, wow, NBA player. The concern is they don't happen a ton. You kind of have to wait a while before you get the next one. He did hit his open shots, his catch and shoots. He was 28 of 62, which is not a lot. He was not very good on the pick and roll or shooting off the bounce. But he did make his catch and shoot shots this year at at Georgia Tech. Concern on him, he's just so raw. He's 19 and a half. You're putting the pieces together there. You're molding him. You're hoping that that flash that he has becomes the cornerstone of a piece. He's got that incredible wingspan. He's 6'4". I was trying to look at him. I got a little intrigued by him last night. I was trying to look at him a little bit more, and the reason I got intrigued by him, I'll show you, this draft could do some funky things, and suddenly, you know, he's a legitimate possibility. He averaged 18 a game this year, 16 the year before. He averaged 2 steals. He had 6 rebounds a game. Those are numbers that translate very well. One thing I was trying to look at last night was, you know, final 10 games of the year or so, Georgia Tech was just a mess. I think they lost all but 2 of them. Did he, you know, so it's hard to tell. Did he have an uptick in any fashion? He had about over 6 rebounds in just about every single one of those games. He burst out and had 29 against Duke. He had 20 against Wake Forest. In those final 11 games, he averaged 18.6 rebounds, 2 assists. He shot only 38% and 36% from 3. So there wasn't a big... Donovan had this kind of uptick at the end. He also was playing on a bad team, pretty young. But he's an interesting prospect. You're molding clay with him. According to Kevin Pelton, he's 24th on the list of numbers. 3 more guys to look at. I have my personal guy, Mo Wagner. I'm not actually sure anybody else likes him. But evidently, it's just my mission in life to keep his name in all discussions. He's a 7 foot, 6 foot and 11 center out of Germany, played for Michigan last year, shot 39% from 3 each of the last 2 years. He's a stretch 5 with no defensive prowess at all. Pretty good athlete and can drive by you and make some plays. You're going to have to play stretch 5 with him. The concern on him is clearly he defensively is not good. He is 66th on Kevin Pelton's numbers list. Final 2 guys, one because, you know what, every time I run numbers, he just keeps showing up, is Jalen Brunson. And if this draft breaks funny tonight, as I will show you here in a little bit, I think this is a name we got to start talking about again. And here's why. You go to catch and shoot. He was 48 of 100 for 1.4 points per catch and shoot. Landry Shamet, Aaron Holiday were better. That's it. Guarded catch and shoot, 1.46 points per shot. Landry Shamet, Aaron Holiday, Josh Okogie were better, nobody else. Open catch and shoot, 1.36. Guys that were better, pretty limited. Off the bounce, shooting, 1.08 points. The best of anyone in this draft class. Pick and roll numbers, 1.1. The best of anyone in this draft class. Suddenly, isolation, the best of anyone other than Kevin Huerter in this draft class. Go to a year ago in isolation, he was great. So suddenly, every time you look at a Jalen Brunson number, he's up there in the elite players of the game that are available. Is he now? You can dismiss him because he's too old and he's not going to be a great athlete, but he's pretty strong, he's pretty solid. The concerns on him are what I just said. He's not an elite level athlete. But he's smart, he plays well, he wins. Villanova won a lot with him. He probably knows exactly what he needs to do. I'm not convinced. My concern on him is I'm not convinced the things he did great in college, some of the post-up and isolation you'll ever do with him in the pro game, and so he's a different player. He's 6'2", 200. His body looks like it's attached to the floor. I'm not sure if it's true. I'd have to know the truth rather than just what I'm looking at. But, I mean, on effective field goal percentage on pick and rolls, he shot 58.5%. Like, no one else is even close. I mean, DiVincenzo in about half a sample size is as good, but that's it. And so maybe you have to kind of take a second and think about Brunson a little bit. On Pelton's numbers, he comes out to 45. Then the last one I'm going to mention, because on Pelton's numbers he's 13 and because he can just flat out shoot and because he's only 19 years old, is Gary Trent Jr. Gary Trent Jr. is 6'6". He's got the pedigree of his dad having played in the league before. He is just a knockdown, lights out shooter. And if you believe that he's got any type of handle in his game. He ran 44 pick and rolls with no success at all. Duke was 6 of 37 on pick and rolls he ran. Then you have something. He took 169 catch and shoots, which was the most of anyone in this draft class other than Mikal Bridges and Kevin Knox. He was 1.15 points per shot. He knocks them down, and he's just a really, really good shooter. He's not elite in a lot of other levels, and so that's why he's probably the last guy in the 11 I mentioned, but he's also a guy that's probably worth putting on the Jazz 11. So there's your Jazz 11. Huerter, Grayson Allen, Aaron Holiday, Dante DiVincenzo, Jerome Robinson, Ellie Okobo, Josh Okoji, DeAnthony Melton, Jalen Brunson, Mo Wagner, Gary Trent Jr. Those are the 11. We'll walk through the draft, how we think it's going to play out, where it starts for Jazz fans viewing as we continue on Draft Day Edition of Locked On Jazz. Just brought to you today by our good friends over at the Advocates. UtahAdvocates.com. There to help you in case the day comes. Let's hope the day does not come where you need to go to Utah Advocates. But if you get in a car accident, there's some things you should know. One is that a lot of things can go wrong, whether it's with your employment, your insurance, getting taken care of. So you need help in the process. And that's where Matt and Utah Advocates come in. Over 25 years, they've built a 106-step process to make sure that you get treated well, everything gets taken care of, nothing bad happens to you, and you get a good result. The thing about accidents are that less than 1% go to trial, 3% go to arbitration. So you need someone taking you through the process. You don't know how to get to those spots. They do. Accidents are all different. Emotions are all different. Individuals are all different. And the Advocates are aware of that, but the process is the same. So by having this airplane checklist of 106 steps, they create efficiency, which means productivity, means communication, means expediting the process. And then they have experts inside their company doing all of those various tasks so the lawyers can interact with you. You call 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. An attorney will call you back in 60 seconds, get your system up and running, and then you're taken care of in the process. There are two mock drafts that are out right now that are good. SI, I don't think the Ringer's updated theirs. Jonathan Giovanni's SI, and then Jeremy Wu's SI draft. Let's walk through a little bit on each of these two and walk you through, as a Jazz fan, how you view the night.
We wish to go where the giant metal objects allow you to
reach. Right now, 1 through 5 on these drafts are the same. So one is DeAndre Ayton. 2 is Marvin Bagley. 3 is Luka Doncic. 4 is Jaren Jackson Jr. 5 is Mo Bamba. Huge trade rumors circulating around. No one's quite sure what Sacramento's doing. Word is they're deciding between Bagley and Porter, not Luka Doncic. Doncic at 3 to Atlanta. There's discussions that there's a split in that office. According to ESPN, Doncic is a favorite of ownership, whereas Jaren Jackson Jr. is other people in the organization. We'll see if that turns out to be true. If ESPN's right on that, it's a pretty interesting moment for the brand new GM if suddenly he's not going to make his own pick. They also might be, you know, Doncic seems to be the number one thing people are trying to trade up to go get. Boston heavily involved. 6 different teams, according to ESPN and The Ringer, are involved in possible making calls to go get either the 2nd, 3rd, or 4th pick. It was clear the Grizzlies were fielding those calls. Suddenly Sacramento and Atlanta started talking about taking Doncic. And so then with that happening, it changed the landscape of who the calls are going to. Memphis at 4. Are listening to trade offers, trying to move Chandler Parsons. Jaren Jackson Jr. is being talked about there. He really might be great. I mean, he might be great, Jaren Jackson Jr. I don't know if I'm willing to take Chandler Parsons for $25 million, but I have to strongly consider it if I was a team out there. I don't know that Memphis would be willing to move all the way to 21 if you look at most of the things they're discussing as they're taking back a not very good contract and not moving back that far. And then 5, Mo Bamba seems to be at 5. So the first part of this draft is going to be these top 5 picks. What do the Kings do? And does anyone move in to go get Triple J, or Luka. That's the first five. The first surprise in the ESPN mock draft is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander out of Kentucky, 6'6", long guard, pretty good pick and roll, hasn't worked out for anyone, has been very quiet, and he's picking up huge steam. In the SI mock draft, they have him at 9. In ESPN, they have him at 6. He's completely jumped Trae Young in the ESPN mock. He's right with Trae Young. Colin Sexton, who slid in our Locked On Podcast Network mock draft, actually doesn't seem to be that crazy a concept anymore. So Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is somewhere between 6 and 9. Wendell Carter Jr. is in this point as well. Michael Porter now plays in this area. And then Kevin Knox plays in this area. Mikal Bridges is being kind of zeroed in at 10. ESPN has Trae Young going to at 12, whereas SI has Trae Young going at 8. Colin Sexton then goes in somewhere in that process, and now Miles Bridges sits at 14 to Denver. Jerome Robinson, according to the ESPN mock draft, and I think this is somewhat true, is being talked about now as 13th to the Clippers. So there's of our Jazz 11. There's the first one that goes off the board. With him not with that. I was checking. Mikal Bridges is at 10 on the SI. Knox is at 11. Robert Williams, Colin Sexton, 12, 13. According to the SI draft, Jerome Robinson is still on the board at this point. From a Jazz standpoint, this draft really starts, if you're watching, at 14. And this is where I think you now at 14 put down the Jazz 11. It's really 10 because I have Mo Wagner on there. But you put down the Jazz Ocean 11. If you're watching, Herter, Allen, Holiday, DiVincenzo, Robinson, Trent Jr., Melton, Okobo, Okoji, Brunson, and I have Wagner down there. And you start that at 14. Someone has got to be available by math at 21. One of them, according to ESPN, Jerome Robinson, could be off the board by 14. Now you're down. Now this is what gets interesting. Now you're down to like 9 and 7. Like someone's going to be there, but the picks could get slim. And that's really the major shift that's happened here in the draft in the last 48 hours is a bunch of guys on the Jazz list keep moving up the board. Or at least what we've made is the Jazz list. I don't know that it actually is the Jazz list. It's just what I call it, the Jazz list. So, let's walk it for a second. 14 is Miles Bridges. This is where you've now built your list. Lonnie Walker is at 15 out of Miami, Florida's guard. But according to SI.com, multiple league sources, a number of teams have flagged Walker's medical, making him likely to slip toward the back of the lottery or out of it. So keep an eye on that. Walker could have cement shoes. I don't think he can get past 18. But anytime someone like, and I don't know where he stands on the Jazz from a medical standpoint, whether we suddenly want him to get to 21 or not. Pretty talented kid, 19, pretty raw. This is one of the kids. My signature on this draft is that the guys that are being drafted between 9 and 17, they're supposedly better than the guys being drafted between 18 and 35. I'm not there. Like, I haven't watched like everybody else, but I'm not there. You know, so Lonnie Walker's this great athlete, looks pretty good. He went 18 of 70 on shots off the bounce last year. 18 of 70. Like, that's concerning for a guy I'm drafting that early. Mikal Bridges, a lot of people love. I just haven't seen a lot of his game. I think there should be more to it for 10. Maybe it's just because I'm putting them as a high. I love Miles Bridges. We'll see if I'm wrong. All right, so Walker's at 15. Both mock drafts have Aaron Holiday at 16. I was listening to Locked On Suns yesterday. That does seem to be the consensus in Phoenix that the second pick is Aaron Holiday. Another one off the Jazz. 11. Boom. According to SI, that's where they have Jerome Robinson going 17. So Robinson in one draft is at 13, the other draft is at 17. If these things are pretty accurate, that means that Robinson's, so Robinson and Holiday in both mock drafts are now off your list. ESPN has Dante DiVincenzo going at 17. SI has him going at 20. Word is he's not getting by Minnesota at 20. Check him off the list. Now, what's interesting here is Kevin Huerter hasn't gone yet. Pretty good player to not having gone. He was on this meteoric rise, hasn't quite gone yet. So we're past 17, we get to 18, which is the Spurs, and that's where SI has Kevin Huerter going. ESPN has Huerter going at 20 to Minnesota because DiVincenzo went earlier. Knock another one off the list. So now all of a sudden, Huerter, Holiday, DiVincenzo, Robinson, all knocked off the list. Players' names that should go in this area that are suddenly not going in this area, Troy Brown out of Oregon is sliding seemingly down to the Jazz and maybe past the Jazz. Not stunned by that. He's not a super athlete. He's not a super shooter. Not stunned by that. Zaire Smith, who was floating up around 12, is now suddenly working his way back down. He's a pretty hard player to kind of figure out. They have SI has him at 19, or ESPN has him at 19. SI has him at Zaire at 19 as well. Colin Sexton should go in here. Point guard out of Alabama. All right, he's at 13 on the Clippers board. I mean, that's a name that, if, depending if you think we, I mean, I don't know if Colin Sexton drops. I guess we're probably grabbing him. Probably too good not to grab. But he starts to slip a little bit, particularly if you have, depending where you have Holiday and some other things like that, or he moves up the board. So now you have, that's how you're watching this thing. And we'll see what takes place. The scenario here is, from looking at the ESPN draft, so Bridges at 14, Lonnie Walker goes 15, Holiday 16, check one off, DiVincenzo 17, check one off, Robert Williams, Texas A&M center, we don't really need him, probably want to hear his name called. It's really not a guy that we're looking at like we need, but maybe too good to pass up. Zaire Smith is another name I think we want to hear called. Huerter at 20. Then the Jazz. So then if that's the scenario, you're now looking at Okobo, Okoji, Melton, Grayson Allen, Brunson, Trent Jr., Wagner. And you're deciding. If one of these other guys, Zaire Smith, slides a little bit more, something's wrong with Robert Williams, who didn't do some workouts. Lonnie Walker's medical, that SI's reporting is that significant. Something weird happens where Shai Gilgeous-Alexander doesn't go that early, so Trae Young pushes back, so Colin Sexton pushes back, so Aaron. Then you could, in theory, have another one of those guys, either Okobo or Allen, going before the Jazz. On the SI mock draft, they have DiVincenzo going 20 and us taking Okobo, the French guard. ESPN has us taking Grayson Allen. So that's how to watch it. It starts for the Jazz around 15, seemingly after Miles Bridges goes 14, seemingly also nothing else crazy has happened at that point. But it does feel like that's, by the time you hit 14, both Bridges are gone. Sexton, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Trae Young are all gone, and the primary guys are all gone. And then we start this thing. Then you make your list, your Jazz personal list, and we see where it goes. My final five is probably Huerter, Allen, DiVincenzo, Robinson, Okobo, or I hold my love affair with Mo Wagner for one more day. That is Locked On Jazz. Enjoy the draft. We'll be back with you tomorrow. Have a great one. Get the latest at LockedOnJazz.net and LockedOnSports.com on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.